Turn to Genesis 39, that's where we're going to be. Genesis 39, this morning we talked about the wrong example of sacred sexuality. And tonight we're looking at the right example of sacred sexuality. And I mentioned this morning, I don't know if I heard that somewhere or what, but it just came to me one day, and I like it because it's God's design. Sexuality is God's design. Amen? And that, therefore, it is a holy thing, and we ought to keep it holy, and we ought to make it sacred unto the Lord. And so we're going to read the first 21 verses of Genesis 39, and then we're going to look at some details in this text of Scripture. This morning we looked at how Judah expressed his sexuality and did a lot of things wrong. And we looked at some principles that he violated in Scripture and the consequences that took place as a result of that. And tonight we're going to look at Joseph and how he followed principles of truth and God and how God blessed him. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now you remember, chapter 38 is parenthetical. It's not chronological. It kind of breaks the chronology of events because in chapter 37, last week, we saw Joseph being sold into slavery. Chapter 39 opens with Joseph being in Egypt, and he's being sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, and bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And so we pick back up in the narrative in the chronology of events. And the chapter 38 spans a lot of time because we see Judah getting married. We see Judah having three children. We see Judah's first two children being old enough to get married and dying. And then his younger one becoming age to get married. And Judah's own wife dying. So a lot happens in this parenthetical thing that happened during the chronology, but it's only spoken of in this one chapter. And so now we pick up the narrative and the chronology of events in the life of Joseph. And it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. That's important right there, the Lord being with you, the Lord being part of your life. Even this morning we said that we need to be committed to sacred sexuality, and a big part of that is being committed to the Lord. Amen. Being committed to doing things God's way, being committed to following God's word and God's will. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now you say he was a slave. How prosperous could he be? Well, the blessings of God are not based on dollar signs. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And it's talking about his prosperity and the blessings of the Lord. And we'll see that as we go through this text. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, Potiphar. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Now, the narrative tells us that the Lord was behind this. We don't know if Potiphar knew that. We know Potiphar knew that whatever Joseph touched, it turned to gold. Basically, everything he did was right, and everything that he was involved in was good, and it worked out well, and it prospered Potiphar, and he liked that. Now, it's possible that Joseph talked to him about the Lord, and it was Potiphar's perspective that the Lord was with him and the Lord was blessing him. But the reality is, it doesn't matter if Potiphar knew it or not. The Lord was blessing him. Potiphar saw it, and Potiphar realized this was a good thing for him, and he used that to his advantage and to his benefit. And you know, when God is blessing us, and we're living for God, and we're experiencing the blessing of God, people are going to see that, and it's going to be a testimony, and God is glorified in that. And Joseph found grace in the sight, and he served him. So he found grace in the sight of Potiphar, and he served him well. And he made him overseer over his house. So he put him as the manager of his estate. So he was like second in command under Potiphar, taking care of everything that was under Potiphar's responsibility as a homeowner, a slave owner, and a industrious man. And he put it all into the hands of Joseph because he knew Joseph was a good worker. He knew Joseph was trusted, and he knew everything Joseph did worked. And he put him in a position of leadership. And it came to pass from the time that he was made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So not only did Potiphar see that Joseph worked hard and he did well and everything he did went well, now he's even benefiting from that even more. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in his field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. This guy was so trusting that he didn't even care about the details. He didn't even need to see the ledger. He had nothing to worry about. All he wanted to know was if he had food to eat and everything was taken care of. He didn't care about how it's taken care of. As long as it's working, don't bother me with the details. Just make it work. And Joseph ran it all. And that's all he knew. It was working. He was eating. And everything was taken care of. And he was a happy guy. Man, if you could be a boss of a situation like that, would that not be a cream puff deal, right, Greg? That would be a cream puff deal right there. So, and it came to pass after these things that the master... I skipped verse 6. We don't want him to skip verse 6. And all that he had was in Joseph's hand. Oh, I read half of it. All that he knew about was the bread that he did eat. Now look at the last part. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. That means he was handsome. He was a good-looking guy. He was probably, he was a hard worker, so he's probably strong and buff. And he was blessed. And he did right. He was trusted. Everything was good in regards to Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." So here you have his master's wife saying, "Have sex with me." And he refused. He refused. That's the right thing to do. When you're tempted, you refuse. Amen? And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hands. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." Obviously, that would be the case. That's his wife. But he's saying, "I have control over everything in this house. You do not belong to me. That is not my place. That is not right. Because thou art his wife." How then, notice this phrase, how can I do this thing? See, we've got way too many people trying to figure out how they can do this thing. And Joseph's figuring, he's saying, how in the world could I do this thing? It is so wrong. It would be a betrayal of my master. It would be betrayal of my God. I can't even imagine doing what you're suggesting. We got way too many people trying to figure out how they can get away with something instead of how they can't get away with it. Right. Our thinking is so messed up. Joseph had the right idea. I can't even imagine myself doing this. We got too many kids trying to dream up how they can do something and get away with it. They aren't following the example of Joseph. We got far too many married people trying to figure out, how can I do this and get away with this? We need to be thinking, why in the world would I do that? We got far too many people thinking, how can I get out of this marriage? We need to be thinking, I need to figure out staying in this marriage. How can I fix this marriage and stay in this marriage? We think the wrong way. Why do we think the wrong way? We're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to Satan. We're listening to the world. We're listening to ungodly influences. We're listening to to pop music and country music. I mean, most country music, if you take the adultery out of it and the alcohol out of it and the sob story out of it, you wouldn't even have a song. Right?
Amen.
It's pathetic.
Amen.
We're listening to wrong stuff. And it's affecting our thinking, and it's twisting our thinking to where we're trying to figure out how we can do it instead of figuring out how we shouldn't do it. Joseph says, how in the world could I do this thing you're suggesting to me? This great wickedness. He calls it what it is. See, we try to convince ourselves, well, it's not that bad.
No.
We try to convince ourselves, well, you know, I wouldn't do this if my situation wasn't this way. We try to justify it. We try to make ourselves feel better about it. We try to figure out a way where we can think it's okay about it. We're okay about it, where we soothe our conscience. Joseph did it right. He said, how in the world could I do this thing? And it is so wicked, why would I do this thing? And it's offensive to God, why would he even think about it? Yeah. Next time somebody wants to tempt you with something, use those lines on them. I guarantee you they'll look at you like a calf at a new gate. Where are you from? Are you from outer space or something? And you can tell them, yeah, I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of heaven.
Amen.
I'm just a pilgrim passing through here. I don't really belong here. I don't really fit in here. Just be honest with them, amen? Because they don't understand how you think. If you tell them what Joseph says, that is like so far from reality to them, it's not even funny. But the problem is we got way too many Christians thinking like the world instead of thinking like a Christ-like way. Joseph did it right. He called it what it was, wicked. He called it what it was, wickedness, sin against God. He asked the right question. How could I do this? Not how can I get away with this, but this is so far from reality, I can't even imagine doing this. Verse 10, it goes on, it says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. This lady's relentless. I mean, you can say no once, but this is going on every single day. She is hounding him. She is trying to wear him down. You don't have to give in no matter how many times you're tempted.
Amen.
Somebody says, I just couldn't. I just said no and no and no and no and I couldn't say no anymore. No, you chose not to say no one more time.
Amen.
Day by day, she's just wearing on him, trying to wear him down. You don't have to give in to that kind of pressure. And where was he going to go? He's a slave of Potiphar. He works in Potiphar's house. He is the manager of his estate. Where is he going to go? He can't go anywhere. You can get away from that sinful influence. Amen? He couldn't. He had to endure it. Every day, the same thing. And he hearkened not unto her. Man, he's doing it right. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. I'm sure when he walked in and he saw nobody there, he said, this is kind of weird. He didn't know what was up, but I'm sure it struck him kind of odd when he's the manager of everybody. He gives everybody their responsibilities for the day, and to find people not doing their responsibilities, that definitely probably got his attention. But this lady, this woman, had orchestrated this whole thing to put them alone in the house with nobody else there. Don't, young people, I've said this to my kids, I'll say it to you who are sort of my kids. Don't ever put yourself in an indefensible situation. Stay public. Stay open. Stay around other people. When it's just you and another person, even if somebody else makes the accusation, you have no defense. Don't do that to yourself. Joseph didn't have a choice in the matter. He had a job to do. You do have a choice in the matter. Don't let yourself get in a situation where you're not defensible. It goes on and it says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Doesn't the Bible say something about flee youthful lust? Amen? He did the right thing. He got away from it. The Bible says that a wise man seeth evil and avoids it. The fool goes right on into it. It goes on and it says, and she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath wrought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And he said, and he laid up his garment by her, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But, contrast and conjunction, things went from bad to good to worse for Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph.
Amen.
The Lord was still with him. And the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Just like the Lord showed favor to him in the sight of Potiphar, the Lord showed favor to him in the sight of the prison keeper. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was with the Lord. And God was working on his behalf. I want to talk to you tonight about the right example of sacred sexuality. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You for these dear people. Work in our hearts, we pray, with these truths we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point of the outline says sacred sexuality is about God's will being accomplished in God's time. God's will being accomplished in God's time. You know, the first step in having the kind of marriage God wants you to have and having the kind of perspective on sexuality God wants you to have is, first of all, being where God wants you to be, being the person God wants you to be. And I said that this morning. As a single person right now, your job is to get close to God and let Him be intimate with you and you be intimate with Him. That's the only intimacy you need right now. And to let Him develop you into the person God wants you to be. And He let Him bring you into connection with the person He wants you to be with. Because He knows what you need far better than you do. But finding that person is just the first step. The next step is the Lord's time. You need to find the Lord's person. You need to find the Lord's time. And sometimes that, you know, I personally feel like when you find the right person, you don't need to drag it out a whole long time. I hear people talking about being engaged for 2 years and all this kind of stuff. Why? I'm not sure that's a really good idea. You know, if you find the right person, why tempt things? Just, you know, have the right kind of courtship, have the right kind of engagement, and have the right kind of marriage. And just, you know, put it in God's time. But you definitely don't need to make it too premature, that's for sure. You need to be ready for it, that's for sure. And so God told Joseph in these dreams that he was going to be a leader, basically. But the dreams weren't coming true, were they? I mean, he was very far from being a leader. He was a slave. Now he ends up in prison. So what's God doing here? See, the will of God was already made known, but the time of God was not made known. See, a lot of, you know, people say, well, I'm called into the ministry. Great. Then you're called to train for the ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I don't want to train. I want to get into it. Well, guess what? You get into it after you train for it. See, if you're called to the ministry, you're called to prepare for the ministry. You need to prepare for the ministry. So the ministry will be more effective with the preparation God gives you. See, God's will is important to understand, but God's timing is important to follow. And God had made his will clear in Joseph's dreams, but God was still working on the timing. But God was working all along, just like I said last week or the week before, I can't even remember when it was, but God was at work this whole time because by having him in Potiphar's house and having him put in prison by Potiphar, he was put into Pharaoh's prison. And that was very important because that's the place where he met the butler and the baker. And that's where that Pharaoh heard about him. See, God is working through all of this. Even though it doesn't seem like his dream is coming true, God is working his dream to come true in his time. And we sing that song, in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And he can make a beautiful marriage in his time.
Amen.
But you got to make sure you're following his time. And sexuality can be an amazing experience in his time. But outside of his plan, outside of his time, it's not going to be what it could be. And the sad reality is, when you don't follow God's plan, you cheat yourself out of what could have been in God's plan. We need to follow God's plan. God's plan is a perfect plan in every aspect of life, including sexuality. It needs to be a sacred thing. See, Joseph was trusting God, even though life did not look very good right now. He was trusting God. His dreams weren't coming true, but he was trusting God. He was trusting God and letting God work in his life. And God was working in his life. God let him be the manager of Potiphar's estate. And then he was thrown into prison unjustly. But God made him a leader in the prison. I mean, being a leader in a prison is not a great gig, but it's better than nothing, right? But he's still leading. It's not quite the dream that he thought he was going to have. But maybe this was it. But it wasn't it, was it? It was all steps toward God's fulfillment of those dreams. And Joseph was trusting. And that's when I look at the life of Joseph and I see how he was able to just keep honoring God and keep being faithful to God and keep being used by God. One key is significant in that whole thing, and it's true for Joseph and it's true for our lives today, and that is he trusted God no matter what things look like.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. If we're going to follow God's will, we've got to trust God no matter what things look like. If we're going to be patient for God's timing, we've got to trust God no matter how things look. And that's one thing Joseph did. He trusted God no matter how things looked. And Joseph was a slave. But he was being faithful to God. It doesn't matter if he was in his father's house as his father's favorite son with the coat of many colors. It didn't matter if he was a slave in Potiphar's house. It didn't matter if he was in prison unjustly. His focus was just to be faithful to God. And my friend, our focus today needs to be faithful to God. That needs to be the whole thing we're consumed with, is just being faithful to God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're a child, be faithful to God. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager, be faithful to God. Doesn't matter if you're a single adult, be faithful to God. Doesn't matter if you're a newly married person, be faithful to God. Doesn't matter if you've been married 60 years. Your focus needs to be faithfulness to God, and that'll help you follow God's plan.
Amen.
You get your eyes off of being faithful to God, there's no telling what you might do. Just need to be faithful to God. And Joseph was. He was faithful wherever he was. Didn't matter where he was faithful to God. He was trusting God no matter where he was. See, we've got to have everything just so. We've got to have everything just right. And then we'll trust God. We've got to have everything just so. We've got to have everything just right. And then we'll be faithful to God. No, that's convenience. That's not faithfulness.
Right.
Joseph was just faithful no matter what. He was faithful doing what he was given to do. He was just a slave in Potiphar's house. He was faithful doing that. He was given some extra responsibilities. He was faithful in those. That got him to being the manager of the estate. He was in the prison. He was faithful to do what he was told. He was given a little more responsibility. He was faithful to what he was given. And that got him to be in charge in the prison under the keeper of the prison. Faithfulness always pays off.
Amen.
It may not be immediately gratifying, but it always pays off.
Amen.
Faithfulness to God's plan in sexuality always pays off. It may not be immediately gratifying, but it always pays off. It always brings God's blessings.
That's right.
See, Joseph was focused on being who God wanted him to be. And my friend, young people, that's your job right now, being who God wants you to be. Single adults, that's your job right now, being who God wants you to be. Becoming the person God wants you to be. Because when you say, I do, you need to be that person.
Yep.
And now's the time to train for that. And that's what Joseph's focus was, just being who God wanted to be. He was growing into a hardworking young man. And that's, you know, he had life pretty easy with his dad. I mean, he could really do no wrong under his dad. He was the favored son, right? That's not that hard. But being in Potiphar's house, hard work paid off. Being in the prison, hard work paid off. He was a hard worker. And that's what got him where he was. He was growing into a respected young man. He was respected. You know why he was respected? Because he was respectful. A lot of times we want respect, but we don't want to be respectful. Doesn't work that way. Not in the real world. You want to be respected? Be respectful. Work for Joseph, it'll work for you too. See, he was growing into a trusted young man. Potiphar had no idea of any of his wealth because he trusted Joseph to take care of it all. That's pretty trusting, isn't it? That's amazingly trusting. And Joseph even told his wife, there's none greater in the house than I, and nothing is kept back from me but thee, and that's because you're his wife, and that just is an unthinkable thing for me. See, he was growing as a trusted man. I want you to see the second thing here. Sacred sexuality is about building a strong relationship with God. What is it that caused Joseph to do right? He thought right.
Amen.
If you think right, you do right. If you think wrong, you do wrong.
Right.
It just works that way. He did right because he thought right. What made him think right? His relationship with his God made him think right. Because
right.
He was thinking about his God. He was thinking about the goodness of his God. He was thinking about the greatness of his God. He was thinking about the promises of his God. He was thinking about his God. And his thoughts about his God give him a strong relationship with his God to where he could not even imagine offending his God in this sin.
Amen.
And that's the kind of attitude we need to have about our God. To where our relationship with him is so strong. And our commitment to him is so vital to us. That we can't even imagine violating that. That's something we all need to be building. That's how Joseph did it. Joseph had a real respect for God. He respected God even though his dreams weren't coming true yet. See, a lot of times we struggle with God when he doesn't do what we want him to do. God is not a genie in a bottle. God is God. And we need to respect him as God. And a strong relationship with God causes us to respect him as he is. He respected God enough to yield to his work in his life, even when it didn't look the right way. He said, okay, God, you're God, I'm not. This doesn't look exactly like the dream's coming true, but hey, you're in charge, not me. And I'm trusting you because you're a good God and you do all things right. And I'm just going to let you work. Man, so many times we waste so much time fighting against God. We would all be better off cooperating with God.
Amen.
A strong relationship of respect to God helps us to cooperate with him and yield to him. He respected God enough to wait on God to complete his will. And young people, young adults, that's where you are. You need to respect God enough to let him complete his work in you. Let him make you who he wants you to be. Let him bring someone into your life. Let him put it together in his time. Respect God enough to let him do it. That's the kind of relationship you need to have with God. See, Joseph not only had a real respect for God, he had a genuine relationship with God. A real relationship, a personal relationship. Not a religious relationship, a real relationship, a genuine relationship, an authentic relationship with God. And it was so strong with him, he didn't want to violate that relationship. He didn't want to offend God. That's what he said to Potiphar's wife. How could I do this sin against God? I can't even imagine it. That's the level of relationship and respect Joseph had with God. Remember, he was taken away from his home at 17. He was 17 years old with the same hormones, the same interests, the same desires as every other 17-year-old boy, even today. But he had a stronger relationship with God than the strength of his hormones. Amen? And that's the kind of relationship we need to have with God. One that causes us to realize, say to ourselves, I can't even imagine doing that, violating my relationship with God. He didn't want to offend his relationship with God. You know what? All sin is an offense to God's holiness. And Joseph didn't want to offend God. He loved God too much to offend God. And you know what, married couples? I'll tell you, the best defense against adultery, thinking right helps you to act right. It works for everybody, right? Not just the young people. It works for the old people too. Amen? Thinking right helps us do right. Thinking right comes from a right relationship with God. A respect of God that we don't want to violate and offend Him in our life. That'll help us do right. Even when we're tempted beyond measure. And Joseph truly was tempted beyond measure. He didn't want to hinder his relationship with God. There's way too many Christians, they're so trite about their relationship with God. A little won't hurt. I'll just ask for forgiveness afterwards. That is such a trite attitude toward grace. See, Joseph didn't have that kind of trivial attitude about his relationship with God. He was serious about it. It was important to him. It was strong with him. You struggle when I'm struggling in the flesh, you know what I do? I need to ramp up my relationship with the Lord. I'm not telling you to do anything I don't do to me. What's good for the goose is good for everybody else, right? This is what I do to me when I'm struggling with the flesh. I need to strengthen my relationship with the Lord. That's what Joseph did. He had a strong relationship with the Lord. And he had a deep appreciation for God. That's the kind of relationship he had. A real respect, a genuine relationship, and a deep appreciation. He appreciated God's goodness. He appreciated God's glory. And he appreciated God's greatness. He reminded himself, hey, you know what? My God is an omniscient God. That means I can't do this thing and him not know about it. You can't do your thing and not him not know about it either. You need to remind yourself he's an omniscient God. Amen? You also need to remind yourself he's an omnipotent God. He can do whatever you need him to do if you'll just trust him to do it. Amen? The greatest defense against temptation is a strong offense with your relationship with God. Amen? The last thing I want you to think about is sacred sexuality is about controlling desires and honoring God. And this example in Joseph is so perfect in self-control and honoring God. And really, that's the issue. The issue is self-control. So what do you do when you're faced with temptation that doesn't want to go away? This woman did not go away. She was not going to go away. And she was not going to give up. I don't know anything about her except for what I know from this text. You can read into it all you want. I'm not going to waste time doing that. But I can clearly understand from this text, she wanted what she wanted and she wasn't going to quit until she got it. And And if we're not careful, we can get to that same place. You say, well, I'm saved. That won't happen to me. You're lying to yourself and you're listening to Satan. And he's setting you up for your own fall. It can happen to you. And you need to be careful. That is for sure. So what does Joseph do in controlling his desires and honoring God? First thing he did is he refused to yield to the flesh. In verse 7 through 9, his master's wife, she saw him. Sin starts with the look. Joseph was not looking at her. Joseph was not tempted by her. She was tempted by looking at him in the wrong way. She wanted what she saw. And she wasn't going to give up until she saw it, until she got it. A lot of sin and temptation starts with the eyes. We need to keep our eyes pure to the Lord. The Bible says that she cast her eyes upon him and she asked him to lie with him and he refused. That's the first step. You got to say no. You got to keep saying no. You can't give up saying no. Sometimes you need a little help saying no. Sometimes you need a filter on the internet to help you say no. Sometimes you need an accountability partner to help you say no. Sometimes you need somebody looking in your eyes and asking you hard questions and telling you you're lying right now. I can tell. Sometimes maybe what you need is one of those reporting softwares on your phone or on your computer to where every search you make goes to somebody you report to. And Sister Sharon's been working on this for me, and she's got some good information. If you're interested in some kind of protection at your home, we're working on it here at the church. If you've got internet and you've got people, if you've got internet, you need protection. Just that simple. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you have kids at home. We thought we had a good protection and we found out we didn't. Now we got a better one. But if you've got internet, you need protection. You need to protect yourself from yourself. You need to protect your family from themselves. But if you got some questions on this, Sister Sharon knows a whole lot more about it than I do. And I appreciate her research on it. But you got to say no. Sometimes you need some help to say no. You got to refuse yielding to the flesh. And then you got to resist temptation. Verse 10 through 12, she spake unto him day by day, and he hearkened not to her. He didn't listen to it. He ignored it. He just resisted the temptation. He just kept busying himself with his work. And young people, that's one of the things. Don't allow loneliness to beat you up. Keep yourself busy. I was glad when I heard Leon went to camp again. You know, he went camp, part of camp with our kids, and he went to camp with his church in Ontario's kids. I guess that's who you went with, or some kids. Or anyway, he's busying himself. And if you got too much time on your hands, it's a bad deal. You need to work. You need to be busy. You need to be busy doing something profitable. You say, well, I work and I still have all this extra time and I just think about things I shouldn't think about. Find something else to keep you busy. Go visit some shut-ins. I'll give you a whole list of shut-ins. I'll keep you busy for a long time. Do not let yourself have too much time on your hands. Keith has no problem with this at all. Keith has no idle time. He is just boom, 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 work, 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 work. He keeps himself busy. But the old saying, idle hands is the devil's workshop, is really true. Amen. You do not need too much idle time. When you go to bed, you need to be tired enough to go to sleep. Because if you don't go to sleep, you're going to get up and you're going to look at something you ought not be looking at. Idle time is not a good thing. You need to be busy. You need to fill your time up with good things. Being a blessing to people. Being a help to people. But that's what Joseph did. He just busied himself with his business. And he resisted the temptation every day. And he never gave in. And that's what we need to be committed to, just never giving in. And when push comes to shove, and you find yourself in a bad spot, run. Just run.
Amen.
Just get away from it. I told my kids, if you're at a place and you don't feel comfortable, give me a call. I'll come get you anytime. You start walking, I'll get you, pick you up on the road. Just get out of there. Don't stick around.
Amen. Good.
But that's the solution. Get away from it. Don't say, well, I'll just work against it. No, get away from it. He ran. Joseph's example is a great example. He refused, he resisted, he ran. And when things get real tough, you got to run. Get away from it. And then he was he willingly received persecution. Young people, I'll just be honest with you. Everybody's not going to be honest with you, but I'll be honest with you. If you do life God's way, people are going to make fun of you. They are. Just might as well plan on it. If you go against the flow, people are going to make fun of you. You just might as well plan on it. If you tell your friends you're a virgin, you might as well plan on it. They're going to make fun of you. Unless they're godly friends. But if they're not godly friends or godly people you know, they're going to make fun of you. You might as well plan on it. They will. That you might find one or two every once in a while that will respect you for it and respect your convictions, but most of them are just going to make fun of it. Because that's the way we are as humans. If we don't understand something, we make fun of it. If something doesn't fit into our liking, we just make fun of it. That's what people do. Joseph took the persecution that came with his decisions. If he would have given in to her, she wouldn't have had him thrown in prison. But that wasn't worth it. Prison with integrity was worth it to Joseph.
Amen.
He was willing to take the persecution because he was committed to his God. And that's what you got to be. If you're going to really follow God's plan, you've got to plan on a little suffering. The Bible still says, and it's still true, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. You say, Pastor, how do you know this? Well, because when I didn't live for God, I wasn't made fun of, and when I did live for God, I was. That's just how it works. When I worked at Sears and Roebuck in the automotive department, they called me the preacher. I wasn't even a preacher. I was a kid. I was a high school kid. They called me the preacher because I didn't do what everybody else did. And I would just talk to them about the Lord. And I wasn't even planning on being a preacher at that time. And they didn't say it complimentary. It was actually a criticism. But I didn't care. It didn't matter. Now, when I wasn't living for God, it would have mattered. But when I was living for God, it didn't matter. See, a strong relationship with the Lord is what's going to help.
Amen.
And Joseph was willing to take it. It didn't matter to him. See, sometimes people will lie about you when you are committed to doing right. You tell them you've never, you know, been with a person of the opposite sex. What do they ask you? The first thing, are you weird or something?
Yeah, are you for real?
Are you kind of weird? You go the other way or something? You know, they want to pervert it, don't they? They'll lie about you. They'll make up rumors about you. They'll tell everybody. They'll tell other people. He's gay. He's never been with a girl. He's gay. That's a lie. But they don't care. See, Joseph was lied about, wasn't he?
Yep.
He was willing to suffer for the persecution. It'll cost you if you honor God on this earth. It costs Joseph being in prison. And sometimes it doesn't even seem to pay. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought this. David thought this. You know, people are sinning and getting away with it, and it's prospering them. And I'm living for God, and it's not, you know, things aren't going very well for me. This doesn't add up, God. Sometimes you're going to feel that way. What's the use in doing it God's way? It's just costing me all this stuff. I'm sure Joseph felt that way. But it didn't change the reality. He was still committed to his God. Strong relationship with God. Follow God's plan. Be committed to it. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Is it going to cost you? Probably. Is it worth it? Definitely. Amen. Was it worth it for Joseph? I guarantee you, when all this was over, and his dream did come true, and he looked back on the journey, he's like, wow, God was working the whole time. Amen. He may have doubted it sometimes. We don't get that impression at all. He's pretty amazing that way. But even if he did, once it was done and he looked back on it, how God worked it all out, it probably just like, that's amazing. And if you'll walk with God and you'll follow God's plan, he'll get you to where he wants you to be, with whom he wants you to be, experiencing what he wants you to experience. And when you get there, you're going to look at the journey and you're going to say, wow, it was worth it. And all that other stuff won't matter a bit. All the things people said to make fun of you won't matter a bit. When you're where God wants you to be, with whom God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, it won't matter a bit. Joseph is the right example of embracing and following sacred sexuality. Judah is the wrong example. The sad reality is, as I look across this crowd, from the youngest to the oldest, in this room right now, there are people who are going to follow Judah's example even though they heard this message. And it's going to be their choices. But the good reality is, in this room, there are some people who are going to follow Joseph's example. And they're going to experience the blessing of God. And it's going to be very, very good for them. My encouragement to you is be the one that follows Joseph. Amen. Learn the lessons from Judah. Don't repeat them. Follow the example of Joseph and enjoy the blessings of God. Let's pray.